From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business. Mahershala Ali has worked for 20 years and has Oscars for Moonlight and Green Book. But the new drama Swan Song is his first leading role in a film. He's also a producer on the project, which came naturally since he feels he's been doing some of that work without the credit for years.
I'm speaking for myself as a Black man. You find yourself in a position where you're having to serve as the one who is authenticating a story when there needs to be other voices behind the scenes besides the actor who ends up having to point out all the things that other people are missing.
Ali tells us why taking the lead in Swan Song felt right, even though it was the director's first feature. And he explains why he shortened his name to Mahershala from his full first name, which is 18 letters long. Plus, we get a tiny peek at his process for birthing the character of Marvel's Blade. But first, we banter. Stick around. It's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my colleague in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, we have had a lot of movies disappoint. One of the movies, and we are speaking like as this thing is opening overseas and getting ready to open in the U.S., one of the movies that's clearly not going to disappoint is Spider-Man No Way Home. It has already done tens of millions of dollars worth of business overseas. It seems that despite all of the anxiety about the new variant, people are going to go to see this one. And I think, on the one hand, the message for the legacy studios who are trying to preserve box office grosses and the theaters, it will be very heartening that if you deliver the right thing, they will come. But on the other hand, everybody else has got to be sitting there thinking, whew, and particularly Steven Spielberg, you know, I fell awfully far short of that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of movie that has been doing okay in theaters. It appeals to a younger, yet not all children audience. It's a big franchise. It feels like something that you might take a risk and go to the movies for, you know, rather than some of these more adult-driven dramas or musicals that have just fallen flat. And it's Marvel. I mean, Marvel is the brand. And even though this is Sony Marvel, this is Marvel Studios making this movie. And this partnership between Sony and Marvel Studios on these three Spider-Man movies has been enormously successful. The Tom Holland Spider-Man movies have grown with each one. This one, if it weren't for the pandemic, it would have been a guaranteed billion-dollar grosser. I think it might even get there with the pandemic. And, you know, I've been told that they're going to do another one, that Disney and Sony are going to stay in business in this very unusual relationship where Disney is producing a movie for a rival studio because it benefits both of them. Disney gets to have the Spider-Man character in other Marvel movies, and Sony gets to have this huge hit-making studio in Marvel make its movie, and it gets to do spin-offs like Morbius and Venom that it does itself based on these Spider-Man villains.
This is going to be really a very big movie, and there is absolutely no reason in the world why they wouldn't do another one. And yes, it is an unusual arrangement, but it is in the interest, you know, because as we have seen, no one has cracked that code like Marvel's Kevin Feige. And, you know, Fox managed to have something going with the X-Men movies for a while, and that sort of petered out. So far, they are batting so strongly. They understand this character. They know how to portray it. And if I were Sony, I mean, what do you say but thank you? And yes, you have to give up a chunk of the money to Marvel, but a chunk of a lot of money is better than all of not that much money.
Oh, and the Spider-Man franchise had essentially been driven into the ground by the previous regime at Sony, and they had nowhere to go. And they went to Disney kind of with their tail between their legs saying, listen, okay, we're willing to let you into our house here and let's do a deal. And then after the franchise became a success, Disney went back to them and extracted bigger payments. They now get 25% of the profits from Sony on these movies and the ability to have Spider-Man in other Marvel Cinematic Universe films, which is huge because Kevin Feige has used that character very wisely in those other films. So it makes sense to keep this going. I wonder how long Tom Holland will like to play this character. You know, he hasn't made noises about wanting to move on. He is only 25 years old. So I could see this relationship going on for another trilogy.
Well, certainly the money seems to be there. I don't know if this will generally get people back to theaters. I mean, sometimes, as we know, when something's a huge hit, there's a spillover effect. Then maybe somebody goes to the theater and it's sold out, so they go to whatever else is on offer. I don't know if that will happen. We still have Sing 2 coming out from Universal, Matrix 4. But again, that is the Warner's day and date for 2021 movies release. And they paid dearly for putting it on this streaming service, I believe. Keanu Reeves was among the highest paid people to not be angry anymore about having it not in theaters exclusively. So there's that. And then there's also Guillermo del Toro's Nightmare Alley. So, you know, Nightmare Alley is the kind of thing that I think will draw genre fans. And, you know, is it a pandemic defier? That's almost like a new category now, a movie that defies the pandemic.
Yeah, this holiday movie corridor is going to be fascinating because there's a lot of different storylines, narratives. Are the awards movies going to catch fire because we saw a muted response to the Golden Globe nominations this past week because of all the controversy? So they're not getting that push that awards movies might necessarily get. And we've got these big movies that, you know, are pretending like this is a normal holiday movie season, but we've got this Omicron variant that is about to, if you read the headlines, explode across the country and the world. Are people going to stay away, or are they going to say, you know what, we're kind of done with the pandemic, let's do it anyways?
Yeah, of course, that's very concerning. And I hope people, at least if they go to the theaters, keep your KN95 masks on. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, a founding partner of Puck News. The new Apple TV Plus movie, Swan Song, is set in the not-too-distant future. Mahershala Ali stars as Cameron, an artist, a loving husband, and a father to a young son, with another on the way. When Cameron learns he has a terminal disease, he keeps the diagnosis secret. With his time ebbing away, he seeks the help of a doctor, played by Glenn Close, who offers Cameron access to a new option, creating a clone who's an exact replica of Cameron, except he's not sick. The whole project is top secret. Cameron can't tell anyone he's thinking about replacing himself with a newly created twin.
This is not just my decision. My wife needs to know.
Either you decide that your wife would want this, which requires secrecy, or you decide that you wouldn't and tell her you're dying. Either way, you're deciding for her.
For Ali, Swan Song represents two firsts, his first leading role in a film and his first time as a feature producer. Ali's lengthy resume includes the TV shows House of Cards, Luke Cage, and True Detective. On the film side, he won two Best Supporting Actor Oscars for Moonlight and Green Book. At the beginning of his career, Ali worked under his real, full first name. And as he acknowledges, that's a lot of letters.
Mahershala Hashbaz.
Yes, and that is quite a lot. I mean, I just want to spend a minute because that is such a extraordinarily lengthy name that, I mean, Just growing up with it and then using it professionally, how did you work through how you would be named?
Yeah, that has been a process. Growing up, they truncated it to Herschel because that's in there, Mahershala. So Herschel. And then I sort of embraced more of the name by the time I was a freshman in college and was going by Mahershala. And then I went through grad school for acting and, you know, you're doing a lot of digging and growing. And I was wrestling with embracing my birth name. And so I graduated, and shortly after I finished grad school, I got on a show called Crossing Jordan. And I remember the producer called me and asked me before we got started, was there anything that I needed? And I basically, in short, told him, hey, I want to go by my full first name. And he's like, okay, what is that? And I started spelling it out for him, and I could feel his jaw drop on the other side of the phone. And he was like, I'm not sure if this will fit. And I was like, well, you know, give it a try and let me know. And so for 11 years in the business, 11, 12 years, I went by Mahershala Hashbaz.
That's 18 letters, I think. I just
it's 18 letters. Yeah. But I hit a certain point where I felt like I got into the business and I was working pretty immediately on a decent level, like able to take care of myself and very humbled about it and grateful. And as grateful as I was to be working, I wasn't fulfilled. Like I felt like I'm not getting to do what I feel is within the range of my capacity. And so I don't feel like I'm growing, like I'm being pushed. And I had different aspirations. And long story short, like 2012, I was doing a movie called Place Beyond the Pines. And I was thinking a lot about my name. And I had this dream about shortening my name back to Mahershala. And because no one calls me Mahershala Ashbaz. And then it popped up like a month or two later. And they were telling me about how they were having trouble fitting my name on the bottom of the poster. And what I consider M. Ali and all this stuff. And I was like, no, I'm going to change it back to Mahershala. Like, I just knew, like, it was time. And because I was thinking about how I would go into these meetings and you could have the best audition in the world, but the first 5 minutes of the conversation was about my name. And I started to feel like, oh, this is a distraction. It's not something that is allowing people to really just focus on the work and thinking about me as somebody who could be good for the film holistically, because I feel like they're just stuck on how exotic my name is. So after like 2012, I changed my name officially, or really abbreviated it back to Mahershala. And, you know, a lot changed after that.
Well, you say that you weren't satisfied with the roles you were getting, which I think I may have even read somewhere, but I'm sort of assuming also is like the black guy in the show or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that right? What it was?
Especially felt that way. I did a lot of TV. And at least in that time, TV felt very calculated. You know, is someone there because you really are excited to have them there and are invested in them as a talent, or are they there to check a demographic box? And at times I found myself feeling like I was there to serve a demographic and to check that box. And this is, it's always that way. Like, everybody doesn't get served in the same ways. And so I just found myself feeling like I was having to look out for myself a lot, which is just true for a lot of artists.
I mean, I'm sort of trying to sense if there's a feeling that as you come to this identity as Mahershala Ali, you said things changed, but it's you change and they changed, maybe.
Perhaps, 100%. I think I'd made some changes for sure in my life. But I was also just thinking about the relationship a bit between an audience or an artist and talent, and like that being a bit of a conversation. And I felt like my first 12 years, it's very difficult to make yourself palatable. And I don't know if that's should be everyone's responsibility necessarily, but just in thinking about that relationship to an audience, I think it's important people are able to say your name.
So you work and you work, as we mentioned earlier. Is it right that you left House of Cards because you felt like it was preventing you from taking other opportunities? Is that true?
I think that is true. That is true. You know, you think about how quickly the years pass and you think about seasons of shows. And that was a show where I was almost off the calendar for 7 months, 8 months out of the year for maybe 3 days a month of work. So for somebody who has the type of energy that I have and, you know, just desire for the work and just wanting to grow and be challenged, that was something where, you know, I'm on a hugely successful show at the time with a lot of like really talented people. But I also just felt like I just needed more runway. I just needed a little bit more space. And it was clear to me that there was a ceiling for my character on that show, which makes sense. Like, you know, I get it. Show is not about Remy Danton, you know, but just looking at myself and just feeling like, yo, I only have so much time to hit a certain window and to have the type of experiences that I aspire to have. And so I have to be proactive in trying to create those opportunities for myself. And so I got to communicate what I want, and what I want is to hear. And so I just, in the most diplomatic way possible, I just, you know, had to begin to communicate that, hey, you know, can I move on to something else? Because I feel like there's other characters that you guys are not going to miss me, is what I felt. You know, I just felt like there was plenty of talent to go around and a lot of great storylines to invest in. And I just felt like it was time for me to move on. And, you know, they let me guest star in the fourth season, which freed me up to go do a bunch of other things. And one of those things was Moonlight. Mm-hmm. And I got to do, you know, Moonlight and Hidden Figures in the same year. And Luke Cage came out as well. So I did three things that came out within a few months of each other that were all a result of getting off of House of Cards.
three amazing things. I mean, obviously Moonlight. When you come off of Moonlight, I mean, it's stunning that Swan Song is your first leading role. I don't know how you select material. I don't know. Maybe you can explain a little bit. Did you just not get offered a good lead, or did you not get offered a lead?
I probably didn't get offered a lead until probably after I signed up for Green Book around that time. I mean, actually, it was a TV role. I'd signed on for True Detective around the same time I signed on for Green Book. And True Detective was my first lead in TV. And I've been working in TV for 19 years up until that point.
Jeez.
And then, you know, there has been like a few leading parts trickle in. But like, you know, most movies don't get reviewed well, you know, so you got to think whatever you're being handed, like there's a lot to sift through. And so quantity doesn't mean quality. And out of the quality opportunities, you're sifting through things and things have to fit together. Like maybe they're shooting in a time that you can't shoot, or maybe you really want to do something, but you just kind of need them to wait 3 months or what have you. So the first one that made sense and that really worked out was Swan Song. And so it probably took about 18 years or so to begin to get offers that were more in alignment with how I thought of myself, so to speak, or the type of work I wanted to do. And so, yeah, it's taken a long time.
I mean, we are hearing more and more, well, we were hearing, I don't know how much it sustains, talk about representation. And to what extent do you think that was a factor before? And is there any difference now?
You know, I think that things are definitely changing. To what degree, that's unclear, you know, but I think the face of things and like casting and the type of shows and people getting deals, those things are changing. And, you know, I think we have to be sort of patient and observant over the next few years to see how, you know, all those seeds end up like growing. You know, it's really important to diversify on screen, which is a lot of the emphasis, but we got to do it below the line too. And with department heads, all these areas where people are groomed into positions of power and making decisions that impact cultures and parts of our demographics in different ways. You have to have people in positions of power and influence who are making decisions. You have to have people that reflect the world that we live in. And, you know, that's not the case yet. It's just not. I've been on Zoom meetings and with marketing people and departments and all these things. Like, and it's in every part of our business. And, you know, the work is ongoing. So as much as there has been change, and I appreciate it, I don't think it's necessarily time for us to like pat ourselves on the back.
Coming up after a short break, Mahershala Ali describes how he played his Swan Song character and his clone ever so slightly differently. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Earn your graduate degree in a flexible online format from University of Southern California and learn from faculty at the top of their fields in areas such as business, health, law, engineering, psychology, communications, and more. Explore your options today at online.usc.edu.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. We're talking to actor and producer Mahershala Ali. He stars in the new futuristic Apple TV Plus drama, Swan Song. Swan Song tells the story of Cameron, a family man faced with a difficult decision. Unbeknownst to his pregnant wife and son, Cameron is dying. Through cutting-edge technology, Cameron may be able to save his family from the agony of losing him by switching places with a clone who the doctors have dubbed Jack. Jack looks and sounds just like Cameron. And if Cameron says the word, Jack will go into the world, ultimately believing he's been Cameron all along. When Jack and Cameron, obviously both played by Mahershala Ali, come face to face, Cameron learns that Jack has got some feelings of his own.
And what about me? Waking up in this place waiting for you to pull a plug, being told I'm not me.
Because you're not me.
You are not me!
Swan Song is written and directed by Irish filmmaker Benjamin Cleary, who won an Oscar for a short film in 2016. But this was his first feature. Does somebody connect you with Benjamin Cleary and say, he's never made a film before, but you should look at this?
You know, we share a management company, and my manager reached out and said, hey, there's something you absolutely have to read. I think you're right for it. I've been tracking it. And I read it, and I was blown away by it. The premise really struck me. I hadn't seen anything like that. And, you know, it taking place in the not too distant future meant that it had these subtle sci-fi futuristic elements to it. And so I didn't feel like I'd also seen someone like myself really in the genre that much either, and especially not getting to lead something. So having read it, having been blown away by it, and then getting to sit down with Ben and get a sense of match the material with the person, it just allowed me to understand where this work was coming from and really sort of confirm that the work had as much heart as the filmmaker. And so I was all in.
Now, Benjamin Cleary is white. I don't know if he had conceived this as a Black family.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. Okay.
He did not. He said he didn't write with anyone in mind specifically. And, you know, as he tells it, when my name came up and he found out that I had read the script, he went back and read it again before our meeting with me in mind and sort of like in his own imaginary way, hearing my voice. And he felt like it came alive to him in a new way. And I felt his excitement sitting across from him. And so I was confident that with wherever there may have been some gaps or things that needed to be deepened or elements that needed to be more culturally specific, that we could build that out through things like art and wardrobe, the score, like all those things felt like they were emanating and of the world of a Black man.
Well, I know that authenticity was important to you. And I don't know if you were always interested. I'm going to the fact that you're a producer on this film, and it seems like it, you know, and many times that's a vanity title, but I think that you didn't see it that way at all. So were you thinking about it over the years? Were you thinking, I want to do this?
Yes, I was. I have been thinking about it for a while. And, you know, there's a lot of things I haven't done that I was close to doing, that I wanted to do. And then in receiving like a script from a director and like giving back notes and wanting the part to develop and expand in a certain way, but still going like, still doesn't feel right for me. Hey, I'm going to pass. And then seeing those notes still be reflected in the final cut of the film was a thing where, and even in things I was doing, like where I find myself like being a part of projects where there's really not a Black producer on the project or producer of any color, right? And so you end up, as speaking for myself as a Black man, you find yourself in a position where you're having to serve as the one who is authenticating a story when there needs to be other voices behind the scenes besides the actor who ends up having to point out all the things that other people are missing and having to like fight these little battles or constantly educate people who are well-intended or what have you, but just have blind spots. And so you still are only being credited as the actor, but you're still having to do all these things that you feel are necessary to protect the movie and therefore yourself. And so at this point, and especially being the face of something, I just naturally know I'm going to give a certain type of feedback and have things to say that could very well impact the film in a way that you hope is positive. And so the best thing you could do is be credited for those ideas, especially if you're having those conversations all the way up through the launch of the film and beyond if people take to it. And so it's not appropriate for every circumstance per se, but it definitely felt appropriate for this film and something that I want to work to do more often.
Let me touch on this, the challenge you have to play against yourself, but you can't be that different from yourself because you're supposed to be playing your identical self.
Yeah.
And so I guess that brings a level of subtlety to that. I don't even know how you think about playing that.
You know, no matter how old you are, when you sit down in front of your mother or your parents or an elder, you suddenly feel young again. You feel smaller. You feel like you're a little bit in a submissive position. Like there's a thing in twins where if you're around them long enough, you can kind of tell who's older. And so I think for me, how I approached this role was the thing I prioritized was being very clear about the power dynamic. And Cameron being the original, he has the power in this situation. And so therefore I felt like Jack, the twin, has to sort of feel like the younger brother. He's in a position where he's sort of submissive or subservient or having to follow or has to be very conscious of his tone. That alone gave me a lot of information about how to hold my body or just what the energy between the two characters should feel like. And then, you know, you got to consider the illness and one character having the illness and the other character not having the illness. And lastly, the script itself. I think Ben did a wonderful job of making it clear that Cameron wants certain things and Jack wants certain things. And those things don't always line up. And it just gave me so much to run with.
And I guess the last thing I would say, ask you about, is Blade, the Marvel universe. That has to feel like a thing, right?
Yes, it does. You know, I can't talk much about it, but it does feel like a thing, a very big thing. But yeah, all of these projects feel big. Like they all feel like a thing because I always feel a lot of pressure with all these roles to not necessarily get it right, but to get it true. So yeah, they all feel like a thing.
Well, I mean, obviously you're hugely successful, you're awarded, but stepping into that blinding light of Marveldom, I don't know if that feels like a different experience.
It does. Just tasting it clearly feels like a different experience purely from the built-in audience, right? The right. Anticipation for something is, you know, they have such a loyal and almost religious fan base, you know? And so that's what makes it different, is that there are already people who know the character inside and out better than you, you know, and have been living with it for maybe 30 years in a certain way. So that does feel different. And if anything, you just try to respect it. But again, going back, it ends up being a little bit sort of all the same for me but I also try to respect and honor all the characters, you know, in a way that they all feel very precious to me. But, you know, there's a lot of noise around how precious this one is. So I'm aware of it.
I feel sort of confident, though. I feel good about it. I don't have to do it, so it's easy for me to say.
Well, good. I'm working. It's funny. It's like talking about it. I mean, obviously, I'm not a woman, but, you know, most people are not talking about their child in the third week. They know they're pregnant, you know? So that's what all the Blade stuff to me feels like. I'm not out the first trimester yet, man. So I'm figuring my stuff out, you know, and trying to, you know, within our home, do all the things that nurture what would be the birth of a healthy child, you know? So that's where I'm at with it.
Okay, well, we'll save the congratulations announcement then.
Thank you so much.
Mahershala Ali is the star of the new movie Swan Song. He is also a producer on the film. Thanks so much for joining us.
It was great speaking with you.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with help this week from Paul Smith, who also mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts on the KCRW app. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.